Welcome to the Editor's Weekly Podcast. This is your Editor-in-Chief, Lindsay Mosley of Gaming Insurrection, and Associate Editor Jamie Mosley.
Yo, what's up?
As usual, we're sitting around talking about games, and this week, after a short hiatus, we're back and we have a couple of things to talk about. So, this week we're actually talking about Street Fighter. And I do believe we're on episode 13. I'm not sure. I do believe we're at episode 13. You know, when you start recording podcasts every week, you kind of get a little sidetracked as to what episode you're on. And it's been a little bit. So, you know, we kind of have to, like, think back and go and look. I'm going to look now and see which one we're on. Yep, we're on episode 13. It's unlucky 13, but we're going to be talking about hot stuff, people. Hot stuff. And mainly, we're talking hot stuff such as Street Fighter.
Yay! I didn't play the original Street Fighter, though.
I didn't play it either, because it was, like, you know, way before my time. Like, it wasn't, but it was. Like, I couldn't even tell you what the original looks like, other than I know that Ken and Ryu were interchangeable. In player one, they were interchangeable, and so when Street Fighter 2 came out, that was the whole reason why Ken and Ryu were made to look different and why they had different names, because you were basically just one up. So Ken and Ryu were made to look different and flesh them out and give them backstories and all, and it still had, like, minimal story, but they were changed enough that you knew they were separate people now.
I hate it. All versions of Street Fighter 2. All of them.
Oh, man.
Mainly because, competition-wise, it was a great game. I understand it was innovative and everything, but the first time playing the game, and it was the first stage, and I was trying to learn the game, and at round one, Zangief decides to powerbomb the crap out of me. That was the end of the gap for me. I just went ahead and I was like, okay, I'm not playing this anymore.
Dude, like, you were, what, 16?
Yep.
Okay, that's kind of sad. I wish I were 16 in 1991. I would have been playing the hell out of Street Fighter 2. Like, in 1991, let me think, how old was I? Wow, like, 10. I was 10. So, I didn't know anything about it. It wasn't until, man, I didn't even get into arcades seriously. Like, I was at the arcade. Make no mistake now, I was at the arcade. But I wasn't playing stuff like that. I was playing, like, Ninja Turtles and The Simpsons and, like, Addams Family Pinball. And, I mean, like, I wasn't into Street Fighter. But I remember seeing the little cabinet and people just, like, playing the hell out of it. They were just all gathered around that one cabinet. And people were like, did you see him do that move? How did he manage to do that? Like, people were sharing tips back and forth how to learn how to do, like, flash kicks, fireballs. Like, everybody knew how to do a fireball, but, like, how to get flash kicks and sonic booms and, like, that kind of stuff. But I don't know, like, in 1991, man, it was all about acid wash jeans and acid wash jeans in the fifth grade for me. So I wasn't really, like, into Street Fighter at that point. But I remember kind of, like, it was kind of a good time to be in the arcades, I think. And Street Fighter kind of was the first game to come out and really, like, brought people together, I guess. Like, I mean, really brought them together. Oh, and I should mention that at the time, also I was playing X-Men, the arcade game, which was quite possibly the hottest thing ever made at that point, and Smash TV. I was playing Smash TV a whole lot. But, yeah, I remember it bringing together a lot of people. Same thing with Mortal Kombat, like, 2 years later, or a year later. It was in 92. Like, it brought people together, and it was also competition for Street Fighter. So, but Street Fighter, I didn't play Street Fighter 2. I take that back. I rented it, and that was like 93, and I had a Super Nintendo. So I rented whichever version that was, that came out on Super Nintendo. And I played that because I was like, I gotta at least check out the competition. I should, since though I was a serious Mortal Kombat head at that point. I need to check out the competition, but I wasn't overly impressed with Street Fighter, so it was like, okay, well, whatever. I was like, okay, I mean, they're speaking this language I have never heard in my entire life. Because up to that point, I'd never heard the Japanese language spoken. I'd never met Japanese people. And, I mean, I didn't know anything about Japan. Like, I vaguely knew stuff about Japan, but it wasn't... Just call me willfully ignorant, I guess.
Well, I didn't like Street Fighter 2 because at that time I really wasn't into fighting games. I was more about hack and slash, finding the Triforce pieces, anything like that. But I just wasn't into fighting games. Now, maybe about a year later I started getting into it after that whole Mortal Kombat being banned kind of thing. And since I started Mortal Kombat, I went back to Street Fighter thanks to my good buddy Ted showing me the wonders and wows of Street Fighter. I decided I might need to play it. But I didn't play it in depth until Street Fighter Alpha.
Well, wow, Liquid Ted, you just got another mention on our podcast. If you're listening, we love you, Ted. You should call us. Ted is probably my introduction to Street Fighter as well, because when I first got started really playing it, it was Alpha. I started playing with Alpha 3, which is like the worst one to start with, because it's already assumed that you know the fundamentals and that you know how the Alpha combo system works. So by the time you get to 3, you should know how to do custom combos, and you should be able to incorporate that into your fighting game plan, I guess you could say, your strategy. But I had no idea, and all I knew was I liked that dude named Akuma. So I was like, you know, I think I'm going to pick him, and I'm going to learn how to play this game with it. I mean, I like Ken. Ken also appealed to me, and I did not like Ken at first. I really didn't like Ken at first. Like, when I first played Street Fighter 2, I didn't pick Ken. I thought Ken was a nuisance. And so I didn't play with Ken. I played with Ryu and Chun-Li, because, you know, Chun-Li was, like, the female character at that point. So, she was the only one up until Super Street Fighter 2 came out. But, and I vaguely remember that. I remember I liked Fei Long stage. And that was, like, the draw for me. But Alpha 3 really brought it back. And I was like, oh, okay, you know what? Because at that point, I'd stopped playing Mortal Kombat. Once Alpha 3 came out, at that point, in 97, 98, I had stopped playing Midway Fighters, and I had moved more back to, like, Capcom stuff with, like, Rival Schools, Darkstalkers, that kind of stuff. Like, I was back there, so I was like, okay, you know, maybe I should give Street Fighter another try. I might actually like what I see this time around. And so I played, and it was like, this is actually kind of hot. I like this. Maybe I should buy it. And at the time, then I could afford to buy games. I wasn't, like, dependent on my parent to give me a game for Christmas or for my birthday. So I could go out and rent games and buy stuff myself. But Ted was pretty much my introduction to serious Street Fighter play. And he was the first person I ever actually physically knew of that had a cabinet in his house. That, like, an arcade cabinet in his house that he played regularly.
Well, first time Ted taught me the basic fundamentals of Street Fighter, which probably took a whole 10 minutes. And he said, this is Street Fighter Alpha. All you need to know is the basics. And also know a little advanced technique, such as if Zangief comes spinning around at you, don't do a fireball. That's all he told me. Well, the best way that you can really get down deep into Street Fighter Alpha is the classic. You got to put in the classic code to play Ken and Ryu versus Bison, which we played a lot until one day I went over to Ted's house so we can challenge Bison, because back in Alpha, you had one one life bar and one super bar shared between Ken and Maru.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Well, I went over to Ted's house one day, and he and my other good friend, Reed, had decided they mastered Bison. And one would play Ken, one would play Maru. Usually Ted was playing Ken. And they figured out they'd cross them up. If Ken's on one side of Bison, Maru's on the other, Maru would do two quick jabs. Ken would do his hurricane kicks, if you will. And they would keep doing it until Bison actually gets hit. So when Bisons get hit by it, you hear hurricane kick four times, two jabs. And it stuns Bison out every single time. So they got the counter up to 99. And they just keep doing it over and over.
Yeah.
Well, we got to the point where we realized this is what's going to happen. You know, we can do this hundreds of times to them. It's no challenge. So then we start being creative. We're timing it to where the point Bison will get dizzy and do a super right before he gets dizzy, so we can just start all over and build up our super meter and do it all over again, trying to get the best points. Because why else does Street Fighter have point system?
Yeah.
Well, after we got tired of that and Ted moved on to Street Fighter Alpha 2 and listened to Sagat growling, that pretty much made it. That was
the ultimate buy for him.
That sealed it for me. So once Sagat was growling, I was like, okay, I gotta get this now. I'm gonna play with Sagat.
Ted loves Sagat too.
And that's what I did. Yeah, he did. He loves Sagat at the time. But I think the real challenge of Street Fighter Alpha 2, and not Street Fighter Alpha 2 Gold, just Street Fighter Alpha 2, was Shinokuma was the real challenge.
Word.
Because he was unbelievably fast. His defense was actually pretty decent for that game.
Oh, he's ridiculous in Street Fighter Alpha 2.
And I don't think there was any flaws. There was no flaws.
Like, if you play Alpha 2 Shinokuma versus Alpha 3 Shinokuma, Alpha 2 Shinokuma is, like, much faster. I mean, he moves a hell of a lot faster. Like, I was playing, I didn't notice it until you pointed it out when we were playing Street Fighter Alpha Collection, which is a must-own, people. You need to get that on PS2. I mean, that's like the end-all be-all of any Street Fighter Alpha version. You need to get that. Anyway, you pointed that out to me, and I was like, wow, he's a beast. He is an absolute beast in Alpha 2. Why is he... I mean, and look, they even toned him down in Alpha 3, and he's still ridiculous. But he's even more ridiculous in Alpha 2. I remember getting him... This was the whole deal about Alpha 3. I got it for my 19th birthday. Okay? This was, like, way, way back in 2000. And I'm dating myself here, because... You know, I'm old. That was like 10 years ago. But I got it for my PlayStation 1 back in the day. And, oh, I was so excited. I was like, ooh, I'm going to play this. So I played it. And I got my World Tour mode character up to like 31. And, which is sadly missing in Alpha Collection. I'm kind of mad about that because I loved World Tour mode. But, and Alpha Collection is pretty much like the arcade version. It's the arcade versions with like the revisions that they did.
Yeah, Alpha 2.
Well,
Alpha 2 Gold.
Yes, they included Alpha 2 Gold, and they included the little game with the little chibi characters, Gym Fighter. Mm-hmm. So the little Gym Fighter game. But
which was also an arcade game.
Yes. Yes, I found that out much later, too. But I was, like, playing through Alpha 3, and I got my Shinokuma. Because once I unlocked Akuma, Akuma's already unlocked, excuse me. He's already unlocked. In the PlayStation version, he's already available. And he's, like, available in all versions of Alpha 3. But I got him all the way up to, like, I don't know, 21? I think level 21 is 0.48106, I think it is. And I got him all the way through and got to the end with Bison, and I wasn't high enough level to get Guile, because you have to get him at 27. And because the progression ranks is like, you have to be a certain point to get to point 48106. I think is what the number is for that little thing, for that little stage for Bison, the end stage. But you have to be a certain level to get to him at the very end. Then it unlocks other places on the little map if you're high enough level. So then at 27, you get Guile. Then at 31, you get, what's his name? Evil Yu. Okay. At 32, you then get Shin Akuma. Now, the fights all get progressively harder and more ridiculous as they go along. You have to get perfects early on. Like, you can't not get perfects. Because the whole point is, for a perfect, and if you end it with a certain level super combo, or you do a thing combo, I want to say it's variable, but it's, if you use a custom combo, it levels up your ism that you've chosen for that particular fight, and your overall points. Well, your overall points serve as your experience points. So it's kind of like a little RPG, kinda, but it's really interesting how I would get all the way. I remember one time, because I've played through this multiple times, and I've even written a fact for it that was not taken by GameFAQs, which kind of pissed me off, because I was like, I sent it in, and the guy was like, the fact you sent in, it's pretty much like the Dreamcast version. I was like, no, it's not. I had done my research. It's not. The Dreamcast version of World Tour Mode is completely different. You get more levels, you get different fights, and you get more isms in it. It's like the more complete version of World Tour Mode. So, when I sent my FAQ in, and then he rejects it and says, you know, it's basically the same thing as the Dreamcast version, I was like, did you even bother to read it? Did you? Because you would know that it wasn't, the game is not even like, neither, you know what I mean? Like, they're not the same thing. So, anyway, I wound up going through, and one time, I know the first time I got through, and I didn't realize that I'd done it wrong, and so my Akuma was like level 11. Okay, so I got to point 48106. And I was pissed because I died. And I, of course, had to go back and do it again. And then the game told me that I basically wasn't high enough level. And I was like, damn it. So I had started over, saved over that one. I did it again and got up to like level 25 or 24 or 25. Right before I got to Bison, and I still didn't have enough level, because you got to be 27 to unlock the stages to get Guile. So I had to do it again. So I was like, okay, the point here is we need to get perfects from the beginning. We need to. So I think finally I wound up, and I've only gotten a level 32, and this goes for the PlayStation version. I've gotten a level 32 character twice. I have a level 32 Ken, and I have a level 32 Rose. And that's because, I don't even know, I did like a whole lot of damage early on with Exism for both of them, and like was killing people easily. So, I got to that very much vaunted fight with Akuma and Shin Akuma, the two Akumas that you fight, and then Shin Akuma. And it was ridiculous. I was like, oh my god, he's killing me. I don't think I've ever actually beaten it. I don't think I may have. I may have actually beaten it. But I have a couple of other characters. Like, I have a 26 Ryu. My 31 Shin Akuma. And I'm trying to think. Who else do I have? I think I've got a Karen on there. I know I've got a 31 Sakura. A 31 Sagat. And I think maybe, like, I started E Honda, but I decided I was going to go back and I put it down, and I just haven't gone back to finish it. But yeah, I spent a lot of time playing that, and it was fun, but it was, it was better for me to do it when I didn't have anything else to do. And I was in college at the time, so, I mean, I could come home from school, you know, do homework and whatever, and go to work and come back home and play Street Fighter, pretty much.
It was challenging. I had it myself for the PlayStation, but when I played a friend of mine's, Kaylin's Street Fighter Alpha 3 for the Dreamcast, and we went through.
And Kaylin, you are getting your third mention on our podcast.
I just thought I'd point that out.
When I played it on his world tour, he went ahead and gone through it, and he's like, "You want to see challenging? This is challenging right here." He said, "Now the PlayStation version had it very challenging. You had to fight against Shin Akuma. He's pretty bad, and you know, super, as we call him, Kaioken Bison, was also challenging."
Why is he called Kaioken Bison?
Mainly the reason we call him Kaioken Bison is because when he backs off the screen and he comes flying through, he moves so fast, we said he's doing Kaioken times 10 or something like that. So he's just go flying by and we say Kaioken instead of saying Psycho Crusher.
Well, he's actually supposed to be, what is that, like Super Shadow Loop Bison or some such nonsense?
Yeah. He's the one, by the way, people, that does the 9 hits, 75% life if you don't block it. And probably about 50% if you do block it.
And you can't jump in the air.
Yeah, you can't block it in the air. He's the one you fight at the very end of the game. And he, like, comes in and basically tells you, you're stupid. Basically is what he's saying when he says Nuriwa, that means stupid. And I was like, wow, thanks, Bison. I was like, thanks, Bison, you're an ass.
Well, Kaylin showed me the difference. He's like, well, after you finish that fight, you know, let's fight, it's difficult and everything, you go on. And we had to fight against, I think you have to fight against Ryu, and then you have to fight against Ivaru and Ken, and then you had to fight against Kaioken Bison and Shin Akuma together.
Yes, I remember that fight.
And
yes.
That was supposed to be the final fight, but we always had so much trouble trying to get through it.
Well, in that case, Bison isn't your problem. It's Shin Akuma. Depending on what ism he is, and he's probably using the what's the ism called? The special ism for them. Is it? It's not X-ism. I know better than that.
It's S-ism.
S-ism.
He's not using that.
He's not. Bison. No, Bison wait. Is. Bison is, but Akuma isn't, right? Shin Akuma isn't.
Yep. So if you jump against him, Bison might do his Psycho Crusher.
Mm-hmm.
If you stay on the ground, there's a good chance Shin Akuma is going to do his Demon Rage.
Yeah.
So, there's not too much you can do. You can't get close. The best tactic we figure out is get rid of Bison so then you can focus on Akuma.
Yeah.
Because after you defeat one, whichever one you defeat, another one will show up. So, my first time going through it, I beat Shin Akuma. I was like, yeah, I beat Shin Akuma. And I was, Bison's about to die and another Shin Akuma dropped down.
It's like, it's survival. It's basically survival. The boss survival, basically. That's on the PlayStation version. How did you, you have more experience with the Dreamcast version of Street Fighter Alpha 3, right?
Yeah, I played it a lot. I mean, I didn't play it over and over again. I played it a couple times, and I've been meaning to go back and pick it up again. But I fairly enjoyed it. It's much, much longer than the PlayStation version.
Yeah,
much
it's,
longer.
It's, that's what I say. It's like the more complete version of World Tour Mode than the PlayStation version is, because you get more levels after you beat that one Bison at the very end. And you get more isms. They give you more isms. Because in the PlayStation version, it was like a glitch. You couldn't get all of the isms. You're missing, like, one of them or something. I want to say it's Guard Crush Plus, or maybe not. I'm not sure. I can't even remember which one it is. It's been that long since I've played it, but... you can't even get all of them. And I was like, come on, Capcom. Like, did somebody not test that? I was like, did somebody not test that? Could you give me all my isms, please? I would like that.
Probably wasn't any room for it.
I guess not, but, like, there's supposedly like, a special way you can get them all, but, I don't want to use no GameShark code to do it, I know that. But, I've played through so that my characters don't even, my level 32s and my 31s don't even need the non-obtainable isms. We do enough damage on our own. we do a lot of damage. Just to give you an example, when I played a guy who's very good at Street Fighter, and he's not, I don't know, he's in, like, Miami right now, and he's not necessarily well-liked in the fighting game community. He can be an okay person when he wants to be, but for the most part, he's not a very nice person. We were friends for a while, and then some things happened, so, yeah. It was a lot of drama, and I was like, you know, this is, like, ridiculous. We're grown people. There should not be any drama behind Street Fighter of all games. Street Fighter. But, anyway, when we were friends, we would get together and go to tournaments. And, I mean, this guy was, like, unbelievably good. He was good. And, I mean, like, you could learn stuff just by watching him. It was just the fact that when he couldn't talk to people on a people level. He was not a people person. Now, he begged to differ, but he was not a people person. But when you could get him to sit down and, like, tell you stuff about Street Fighter and Tekken, he was unbelievably good at it. So he could explain to you, like, frame rates, how certain combos worked, you know, like, the difference, the best tactics to use for somebody like V-ism, the best for A-ism, that kind of thing. Like, I mean, he could sit down and talk to you about that. Like, he could sit down and dissect a combo video for Tekken, and I actually sat there and watched him do it. He dissected a combo video for Tekken and pointed out every move that they used and what would be a counter for it. And he also, coincidentally, I met him. He was playing Tekken Tag, and he run up a 54 win streak in the arcade. And I was out playing, I was going out actually probably to play Capcom versus SNK. And that's how I met him. I marveled at the fact that he had a 54 win streak, and people were still lining up to face him. They were stupidly, were like, just running back to get killed. It was like, do you not see the man has 54 wins here? Like, what part of you're not going to beat him? If you haven't done it by now, you're not going to.
But that's the best way to learn, yes, and actually the best way to teach yourself.
Yes.
It is someone who plays that well. You can actually say, okay, I see what they're doing. You know, I've experienced a couple times now. I'll learn my own few tactics and everything. You change it up. So yeah, that's the best way.
But the problem was, these people were not changing. They weren't learning. They were doing the same things over and over and over. I stood there and watched like 10 of the matches, and it was the same two or three people, and they kept doing the same things over and over. And I was like, did you not learn from the last match you had with him? Like, he's telling you what you should do to counter him, and you're not doing it. So you're going to lose. There's no learning. There's no growth here. If you're not going to learn while you're playing, you should probably stop playing. So that's where I had the problem with it. It wasn't that, you know, he was, you know, being obnoxious about it, because he actually really wasn't being obnoxious about it for once. I mean, he was just like, you know, if you guys want to learn, I will teach you. I will show you what you need to know. And yeah, it was unbelievable. So I talked to him that night, and I eventually sold him my Alpha, my copy of Alpha on PlayStation. For like $25, I think, which is, now if you can find that, it's worth more than $25. Kind of wish I hadn't sold it. But, yeah, I actually beat him once. I beat him maybe twice in two separate games. The first time I ever actually, like, beat him in a Street Fighter game was Alpha 3. And I basically had to cheat to do it, but I wasn't really cheating, because I used my souped up World Tour character, and I had to put it on like Turbo 6 or so. The speed, I had to put the speed on Turbo 6, and I managed to luck up and hit a combo on him. And I didn't do Demon Rage. That was the thing. I did not do a Demon Rage whatsoever. And for you Street Fighter purists, that would be Shun Goku Satsu. I did not actually pull that off on him. I actually did a super alpha combo. Like, I went into a... because I was displaying a combo for him. Because he was interested to see exactly how that worked on the home version. Because he'd been playing it in arcades. He used to go to, you know, like, East Coast Championships and, you know, West Coast Championships and all that kind of thing. And, what's the big... Well, it used to be the B-Series tournaments. You know, like B4 and, you know, B5 or whatever. What is it now? Evolution? Yeah, it's Evolution. It's been so long since I actually competed. I couldn't tell you what the name of it is. But he used to go to those, so he was kind of wanting to know, like, you know, what the home version looked like, what happens when you get a World Tour character, because he didn't play that. He played solely for, you know, playing against people with normal characters. So I turned speed up, and I used my souped up character, and I did a Shoryuken, because I used, I want to say I used Shinakuma. I did a Shoryuken, a Fierce Shoryuken into a Super Air Fireball. And it did, like, I don't know, 12 hits or so. Like, 96 points of damage out of, like, 120 or so. Yeah, he was dead. And I managed to pull that off multiple times because, one, the speed was up high, and... Two, the I had the ism on that slowly gives you back your super meter. So he was like, "You know you're cheating, right?" And I was like, "I'm not cheating. I have to employ these methods against you. Otherwise, I'm not gonna win. It's like not gonna happen. Not in Alpha 3." So he kind of laughed at me, and he was like, "Yeah, I guess you kind of have a point." I remember it was the night before a tournament, because he spent the night at my house. But the second time I beat him, we were playing Third Strike. We were playing Street Fighter 3 Third Strike at his apartment. And we were all up in the area for a tournament, and we stayed the night at his apartment. And I had Ken, and I don't even remember who he had. I think he had Urien. Or maybe even Mikato. It was probably Mikato, because his Mikato is, like, ridiculous. And I beat him fair and square. Like, I had no codes on or anything. And I actually beat him with Ken. And I was so proud of myself. I was like, you know what, if I just stop playing, like, right now, I'd be happy. But I hadn't beaten him since. And that was, wow, it was, like, 2003. So... It's been a long time since I've actually that was probably 2002. Now that I think about it, that was probably 2002. So that was almost 10 years ago. But I don't know. That was my feel good story about Street Fighter.
Well, I don't have any feel good stories about Street Fighter except for
you beating him though.
Yeah, I played him a couple times, and I beat him mainly because
using Hugo, right?
Well, one, most people hate Hugo players. And yeah, that's how it is.
You're annoying with Hugo.
It's annoying. And once you have once you have his timing down and everything, anybody, especially like Mikato, who has to get up close, is just as much danger as in anyone who plays against Mikato.
Yeah.
So, I beat him a couple times. And I mean, it wasn't nothing to brag about or anything. Actually, most of the time, I think he just didn't take my playing seriously
at first. Yeah, he didn't take you seriously.
But... that's not another likely. Story. Ted and I, we used to play Street Fighter 3. Not Street Fighter 3rd Strike. 3 3rd Strike. Just Street Fighter 3. And we would play it a lot, man.
Fight for the future?
Always fighting for the future.
Oh, wait a minute. Fight for the future is 3rd Strike, isn't it?
I think all of them.
Actually, No. Street Fighter 3, 3rd Strike is Fight for the Future, but one is New Generation.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
We, Only reason we did that, and I originally started playing with Shun. which everyone at first thought he was a joke character, but you can do his stunt on there and then do Hadoop Burst, and it does unbelievable damage because people don't know whether to block the ball that's coming at him, because it did hit and does damage, or the Hadoop Burst. And then we tried to find ways to, you know, sneak in. We realized at that time, and within the first week of playing it, that Ken was broken, so everyone tried to stay away from him.
Ken's incredibly broken.
And then we found some broken techniques that we had with you, so we tried to stay away from him, which left us with Alex, Ying, and, you know, we played with Yun, but at that time in Street Fighter 3, the twins were about the same. So, I mean, it was nothing different. So we played with Alex, I played with Sean, and whenever we got to Gil, we might have played with Ken or something like that. But mainly I tried to play with Alex, you know, back when Alex said Jesus.
Well, he does say Jesus.
When Second Impact came out, I instantly moved to Hugo. Not because Hugo was a big guy and everything, it was because I seemed to have a nasty habit of playing fight games where big cross-up characters with the big X are saying, here, cross me up and everything. I always seem to pick those and seem to like them. So I started playing with Hugo that way. Well, getting to Gil with Hugo is extremely difficult.
It is.
Well, mainly because, you know, well, Akuma's on that one. And he was not as aggravating. But when you do get to Gil...
Gil is unbelievable.
Gil decided that since the new generation, that people said that he was too easy to defeat, they decided to make him very chaotic. So now you had no idea what he was going to do, and they gave him more supers. Which I believe he had those supers in the beginning, he just never used them.
Yeah, I think what happened with that was the computer... locks him away when he's a non-playable character, so that very rarely will you see them, if ever. Kind of like good old Jimmy Gibbs Jr. in Left 4 Dead 2. Yeah, Jimmy Gibbs Jr. is no longer among the living, and there's a 5% chance of him spawning as a zombie in the Dead Center. Kind of like Gil using his supers. There's a 5% chance that he may or may not use it. And if he does, it's bad. It's real bad. Real, real bad. like, real bad. Real, real bad. That's how bad that is. Like, if he happens to use it in double impact, you might as well just, like, stop right then. Because... I mean, it's going to take a lot for it to trigger, and then it's random. So, the reason why I say that is because you'll notice in the sequel, of course, in Third Strike, you'll notice he uses all his supers.
Yeah, he uses all his supers, and it's like playing against a human person. You have no idea when they're going to use anything. And sometimes Gil might be in your face and use it. And sometimes you might be on the other side of Gil with his back to you and he might use his super. And you realize that he pulled it off at the wrong time. Or maybe the computer just sent it the wrong way. Whichever one. But he will always use Resurrection.
Oh, he will always use it.
Which was the first thing that we all realized, especially playing on New Generation or anything. We were just setting up for it. So when we played with you... we will always use Dengen Hadouken. So that way we wanted him to get that resurrection. We will let him get the full life so we can charge that Hadouken up to send it off just so we can beat him down again. Well, and Second Impact, you couldn't do that. Because he would get up, you can shoot your Dengen Hadouken, and Gil kind of put like a little force field right there in front of him so it doesn't necessarily hit him till he has full life back.
Yeah, and then it hits him. Third Strike too.
Yeah, and then it hits. So it's that put a little damper on our plans, but it didn't change anything. We had more characters. Well, in Third Strike, I did play a lot of Dudley. Actually, my hometown, a lot of people played Dudley. Dudley was one of the main people.
Yeah, I found out about Dudley. My Dudley was like ridiculous once I learned to cross up people and go into supers. Using, you know,
what is it? What is the movie does? Corkscrew Blow? Is that not his super, though? Mm-hmm. I think Corkscrew Blow is his super. Yeah. But yeah, once I figured out how to use Dudley properly, yeah. My Dudley was like ridiculous at that point. But yeah, you know, you're right. He puts up a little force field, and I notice now it takes more hits to stop him doing resurrection. Technically, it should only take one hit to stop him, but the timing between when you throw that one hit and it actually hitting him is a different story. Well, if you've mastered that, if you've mastered it, Gil is not hard at all.
Well, what you can do is you're playing, especially if you're playing Ryu and he goes to do resurrection. If you do a hurricane kick, it's going to hit him. It's going to knock him out of it. It's nothing you can do about it. Well, I wouldn't suggest doing a projectile.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that on third strike unless you've completely mastered it and everything, that Gil gets back with a vengeance once he uses resurrection.
Oh, he gets ridiculous once he uses resurrection.
And if you thought he was chaotic then he becomes more chaotic. Well, as you playing with Hugo and you're trying to get to Gil, you want to get up close and personal. Hugo is very slow, but he can move fast when he's up close. Gil knows that Hugo has to be up close to do something. So every time that I play Hugo, Gil will always stay back, or he rush real close, do a quick combo, and then back. Or he just does a super anytime I'm going to jump at him.
Yep.
So it's very difficult for me to be with Hugo, but I have.
Well, we've seen the video. Wasn't that Skillsmith in the video? Did the video, had the combo video out with Hugo where you got a perfect and stopped Gil from using resurrection? Mm-hmm. Now, he got the perfect because he was parrying all kinds of stuff. They were parrying all kinds of things with Hugo and stopped him from doing resurrection. And then proceeded to beat his ass when he came back. Because he wound up getting like half life back with resurrection. And then they completely dismantled him with Hugo. Like, it was unbelievable. I was like, damn, Skillsmith. Yes, this is, by the way, the second mention of Skillsmith. If you've heard our previous podcast, we've talked about the mystery of Skillsmith and why there are no longer any videos coming up from Skillsmith, which there are actually videos, more recent videos from Skillsmith. And we've actually, in the time since we've done that podcast where we talked about Skillsmith very randomly, we've discovered it's a group. We did research. It's a group in Japan, and they have a website. You just have to type in, you know, Skillsmith combos or something, and, I mean, just Google it, and it pulls up their website. You gotta know which one to go to, though, like which website to go to.
The video is also on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, lots of people have gotten the tapes of Skillsmith stuff and uploaded it. That's where we saw the video of Hugo.
Now, the most impressive one I thought of, all of Skillsmith's stuff is impressive, but I thought the most impressive one, particularly on that third strike one, was the one where they were playing with Akuma, and Gil went to do, what's the one where he drops the meteors out of the sky?
Oh, Lord.
I can't remember.
It's not Seraphic Wing, because Seraphic Wing is the one where I've actually seen them parry every hit of Seraphic Wing, which is a feat by itself. I mean, Seraphic Wing takes up the whole screen. The hit zone of Seraphic Wing is like the entire screen. And the fact that they were in the corner and parried every hit of Seraphic Wing, you can't even block Seraphic Wing. Like, I mean, you can block it, but you take chip from it. You take massive amounts of chip from it. So their only option was to parry it. And they parried every hit of it. And I was like, that's impossible. But then again, you know, I watched, who was that? What's the guy's name I told you about? He had the match against Justin Wong at Evolution, and he parried every hit of Chun-Li's super, and then went into his super and won. I was like, I can't think of the guy's name, and he's very popular. He's I can see his face. And he has a nice website up, too, where he also plays Third Strike a whole lot and has a whole bunch of videos up. He's very well known in the fighting game community, but his name just escapes me right now because I'm not even in it anymore. But, I mean, I know him if I saw it. But, yeah, they parried Skill Smith, the group itself, whoever it was in the group playing it, parried every single hit of Seraphic Wing. It's not Resurrection, because Resurrection is when he comes back to life. Gosh, I can see the super in my mind when he does it, because it's annoying. You get hit by, if you jump, you get hit by all the damn hits, and it works on my nerves, because I want to shoot Gil in the face every time with a fireball, and I miss. Like, I mean, I miss completely, because I get hit by the stupid little meteorite things. I can't think of the name of it right now.
Yeah, well, what Skill Smith did was, right when Gil went to do that, they jumped up in the air, parried every single one of them as they jumped up in the air.
Yeah,
they're playing with Akuma, and they kicked Gil in the head as they were coming down, did a roundhouse kick, and then went straight into a Demon Rage, and that killed him.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was most impressive. They did show a lot of 100% combos on there, so
yeah.
They're pretty interesting. So yeah, you should check out Skill Smith's stuff. They're pretty good.
Yeah, Skill Smith's videos are, like, unbelievable. I mean, like, some of this stuff is, like, I wonder, did they work for Capcom? But, and they may have. I do believe they are testers for Capcom. I'm going to see if I can Google it and see if I can't give y'all the address for it. For the Skill Smith website, but yeah, Skill Smith is unbelievable. But yeah, I've had a lot of experience with Street Fighter. It's been I've played a lot of stuff, and it's like, why would I play anything now? And I think about it now, Why would I play anything different than anything like Street Fighter? And I think it's because basically Capcom pioneered the genre with it. So, I mean, you know, you can't play anything else but Street Fighter nowadays if you're looking for that kind of thing. Okay, so I was looking up this video site for Skillsmith, and I couldn't find it. I absolutely cannot find it. But if you just Google him, you can find it. And I don't know. I know you can. If you just look up Skillsmith, you can find that on there, especially on Google. Anyway, as I was saying, like, I started playing Street Fighter because, like, I don't know of anything else that anybody would play Street Fighter for now. Like, I mean, Street Fighter's pretty much outlasted everything else that was in its category. Because I don't consider Tekken to be in its category. It's a completely different type of game than Street Fighter. So I don't really consider that. Like, and by extension with Tekken, also DOA and Soul Calibur and those types of fighters and stuff. Like, I don't consider them to be in the same category with Street Fighter, but I think that now, like, I couldn't envision myself playing Street Fighter for pretty much any other reason other than I really like the game. What do you think?
Well, that's the only reason I play Street Fighter is, one, it keeps your hand-eye coordination still in check.
Right.
And also, for some reason, they still got points up there, so I guess it's trying to find the highest score you can make. But mainly, I just keep playing the game because I love it. I mean, even Street Fighter 4, I will play it just for the simple fact that it's still Street Fighter. And although it is extremely similar to Street Fighter 2, and I know how much I dislike Street Fighter 2, I could at least play it, and some of the systems seem to be okay versus some of the things I just couldn't understand into, which is probably the reason why I just couldn't get into it. But I think if I sat down, I could probably actually try to digest Street Fighter 2, but I don't think I'm gonna do it at this point.
I don't know. I've played a little bit of 4, and I mean, if I had a PS3, I think I would probably get it. But I just, all this newfangled stuff, it's kind of like, I'm too old to be running out and buying a Street Fighter game now, because, first of all, where am I going to go play it? I don't have anybody to play against. I mean, I know you can play online and stuff, but, I mean, and that is, I guess, the arcades now, but, I don't think I will be playing against too many people online. I don't know. I'm not all that into the online gaming thing. I mean, it's nice when it works. It is. It's great when it works. But other than the 360, there ain't too much I have that keeps up with online play. Because I don't even count the Wii. That's like a complete waste of time to even attempt to get online with people and play. But it's just, I don't know, now I'm kind of like out of Street Fighter, I guess. So, if I play Street Fighter, it's more, I play Alpha 3, and sometimes I play 2, because I enjoy playing 2. Unlike, you know, my partner crime here, I actually enjoy playing 2. And I find it to be enjoyable. I take it for what it is. It's 1991-ish lack of refinement, and I mean, like, it was the very beginning of the beginning for fighting games, to say the least. So I expect it to be rudimentary and not very good, but Street Fighter 2 is actually not that bad. It could have been worse. It could have been far worse. And I especially like playing later versions like Super Turbo and playing Super Street Fighter 2X for matching service on Dreamcast, where you see it's like the pinnacle of Street Fighter 2. That is the pinnacle of Street Fighter 2 when they've decided to bring in super combos. I'll play that all day long because I can actually stand playing that. Like, I know that Guile's probably going to beat me with a flash kick every time I jump over there, but now I have a super I can stop him with if I have a meter. So, I mean, like, that's why I give Street Fighter 2 its credit where credit is due, because it could have been far, far worse, and I see how far we've come with Street Fighter that, I mean, that looks pretty good considering what it could have been. But, yeah, I mean, just like gameplay-wise, I can get into Street Fighter 2. But I prefer Alpha, actually. I prefer Alpha 3. If we're really going to get down to it, I actually prefer Alpha 3. But, you know, I mean, I take Street Fighter for what it is. It's, you know, they got to do just like everybody else does nowadays. They got to stay relevant. So, you know, they could be like our dear friends at what used to be Midway, and you put out a fighting game and nobody wants to play it. Like, other than MK versus DC. Like, I mean, like, who's been playing Mortal Kombat since, like, when was the last time Mortal Kombat was actually relevant to the conversation about fighting games? Because let me tell you, Mortal Kombat 5 was not. That was not going to work. I mean, the graphics and all were kind of great looking, but immediately the gameplay turned me off. Because it immediately became like Tekken. And for me, I couldn't play Tekken. That's why I played Mortal Kombat and I played Street Fighter. I can't play Tekken at all. Like, it's very simple, but it's very complex at the same time. So Street Fighter was like my alternative, and Mortal Kombat was my alternative. But the second that Mortal Kombat, you know, tried to be Tekken, it just fell apart for me. It really did. It just fell apart. And I was like, stop, Midway. Stop it. You need to stop. Because you've gone from bad with 4 to worse with 5. And they kept going in that direction. And I was like, stop. You cannot do Tekken. You can't be Tekken. I hate to tell y'all, but y'all will never be Namco. At the time, it was just Namco. You will never be Namco. and you will never be Tekken. You will never ever achieve that level of play fluidity and single-handed depthness that Tekken has. You will never achieve that with Mortal Kombat. That's just not what Mortal Kombat was meant to be. It was meant to be an answer to Street Fighter. And actually, it was actually meant to be a joke game to start with, but it was meant to be basically competing with Street Fighter. And now it's like, yeah, y'all gonna have to go back to the drawing board on that. So, I'm anxious to see where Mortal Kombat will go, because, you know, Ed Boon's been dropping hints, like, left and right about, well, before they got bought by Warner. Ed Boon had been dropping hints left and right about MK9. So, you know, I'm anxious to see, are they going to try to keep up with Tekken still, or are they going to go back and try to keep up with Street Fighter?
Well, it's probably not going to go back to Street Fighter, because although there's still a lot of people in the world that play Street Fighter, Mortal Kombat was American made. So they only want to play things, they're only going to compete with things that are big in America. Unfortunately, as big as Street Fighter is here, Tekken, it seems to be, has a huge following behind it. So I'm thinking they're going to stay on the same guidelines and try to keep up with that. Or they might mix it up a little bit. Maybe they try to do both, but I'm guessing that's exactly what they're going to do. It'll probably be a huge game because they have to have all characters on there. You know, and they did still compete it with Capcom by having the largest Mortal Kombat game ever, with what was it, 60 people on there?
Yeah.
On
it was everybody who's ever appeared.
Yeah, everybody who's ever been on a Mortal Kombat game, they do that. So, I mean, that's probably what they're going to do. They'll probably stay with the Tekken theme for a while, and, you know, they make subtle hints towards Capcom.
I wish they would just, make up their minds and stop screwing up Mortal Kombat. Like, I haven't played a Mortal Kombat game seriously in years. I'd say since 95, 96-ish.
And you're not going to unless they start putting them in arcades again.
That'll never happen.
Well, there you go.
That will never happen. They haven't put a Mortal Kombat in arcades since, since 4. Since, what is that, 96? 97? Yeah, 96, 97. Now, they had Street Fighter 4 in the arcade, but it wasn't here. Not too many places here had it. It was on test here in America, but it wasn't, on... queued up everywhere like it would have been back in the day. Could you just imagine if they'd had, it was back in the day and Street Fighter 4 came out? My God, it would have been all over the place. People would be like, I'm going to go play that new Street Fighter, man. That's kind of hot. It would have been 1991 all over again. But I don't know. I'm kind of mad with Street Fighter right now because... I mean, I played 4, but I wasn't overly impressed with 4. It was okay, well, this is basically Street Fighter 2 dressed up in a new suit. I mean, you mean to tell me we can't advance this? And can we please advance the damn storyline? I mean, stop telling me what happened between 2 and 3. Tell me what happened after 3. Come on, Capcom. I remember back in the day. It was 1993-94, and it was in a Lane Pro, which, of course, you know, our older listeners will remember was the April Fool's guide for Game Pro. And I used to be a huge Game Pro reader back when Game Pro was relevant. They are becoming more relevant now that they've got John Davidson. He's the man. He is the man. I will go on record and saying he's the man. He don't know me from Adam on the street, but I've been following John Davidson since he took over at EGM in the mid-90s, mid to late 90s. The late 90s, probably. But anyway, he Lane Pro had a little segment in it that it was a little thing in jest at Street Fighter where it says, and tomorrow on Sesame Street, Capcom learns to count to 3, and then they listed all of the Street Fighter 2 versions with a little thing of I think it was either Ryu or Ken, supposed to be like Big Bird, like Sesame Street counting and stuff. It was hilarious, actually. I got the joke. I got it. Because I was like, why is there 6 versions of this game? Why? Does anybody tell me why there's 5 to 6 versions of Street Fighter 2? Like, that makes no sense. Like, the hell, Capcom? And then, look, this is what gets me with Capcom. Because they always have to do things in threes. And they never seem to learn the damn lesson. So, you'll see they'll have, like, Street Fighter 3 had 3 versions. Street Fighter 4 is probably going to have 3 versions. But, you know, I think they probably have learned their lesson now. I don't know, because, you know, fan backlash is kind of like, why we got to have a Super Street Fighter 2? Why couldn't you just, Super Street Fighter 4. Why couldn't you just give me that when the damn game came out? Like, why am I having to turn around and buy this again? This is crazy. So, but, and I know they're supposed to be doing, like, some special deal or whatever, but it's like, you know, help me out here, Capcom. Stop charging me an arm and a leg for something that should have been in the game in the beginning. But, and also, if you're keeping count, Alpha had 3 versions as well. So, I mean, it's kind of like, y'all, come on. This is kind of ridiculous. this is kind of slightly ridiculous. So, I don't know. I mean, I'm at that point now where it would take a whole lot for me to be excited about Street Fighter again. And maybe if I sat down with Street Fighter 4 more, I would be more excited about it. I've very briefly played it a couple of times, and it really wasn't jumping out at me. So usually by the third game, they tend to get it right. and that's when I notice I pick it up and I actually really like it, because I did that with Third Strike. I wasn't into Street Fighter 3 before Third Strike, and of the 3 games, Third Strike is probably my favorite in that series of 3 for Third Strike.
Double Impact was my favorite on that series of 3, just for a simple fact. It was the introduction of some of the other characters, but mainly I enjoyed it more because the combo system seemed to be a little different. You know, it was a little easier to get combos off. You can do more juggles, as Skill Smith showed several times. Yeah, Skill Smith showed several times on the combos on Double Impact. But Third Strike, I guess story-wise, Third Strike was the complete version of it. When it comes to the Alpha series, though, I'll play Street Fighter Alpha 3, and I'll play it a lot, but I'd play Street Fighter Alpha 2 and Street Fighter Alpha 2 Go more than I would play 3. Just for the simple fact that the challenge rating that they have. In my opinion, Street Fighter Alpha 2 was far more challenging than Street Fighter Alpha 3.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it actually was. I really do think it was. And you know, actually, folks, I think I found the Skillsmith website. And in the time that we've been sitting here talking about this, I do believe I found the Skillsmith website. It's in a whole lot of Japanese, and I don't recognize a darn thing that's going on here. But I think I found it, because I recognize the logo. And it's at, like, HTTP... 347.tcup.com, I think is what this is. But I recognize the logo. And, yeah, it's, and actually, that's like their, forums, and where they leave, like, posts and stuff. Actually, the website is www.31.ocn.ne.jp. / and then the little tilde, that's the little key right above tab on a standard issue keyboard, and you hit shift for that, and then S Smith, and then it pulls it up. But I warn you now, it's all in Japanese, but you'll know you're in the right spot, because I recognize the little logo thing. It's like got a little bird in it, and it's real fuzzy and whatever, but it says Skillsmith on it. And then it has Second Impact, Third Strike, DC Third Strike. Which tells you they know that there's a difference between the Dreamcast version of Third Strike and the arcade version of Third Strike. Which I was told by my partner in crime here. But yeah, definitely they've got a thing on here that says staff. And they talk about the different people who play with them as a group. And that's how you know that it's a group. Now, if you can get this translated, then you can tell what it says. But, I mean, it's all in a whole lot of characters and stuff. So, I mean, and I don't know if it's been updated for a while, but it's definitely them. I'm glad I actually found that. So, I take it back. I did actually find them for y'all. But, you know, just do a search for, and the way I found it was I put in Google, I put in Skillsmith space, and Skillsmith is all one word, by the way. Skillsmith space, and then like JP for Japan. And it's like the fourth or fifth one down where it says Skillsmith main. That's them. But yeah, I just thought I would, you know, bring it up since I found them.
That's a good thing, because if anyone can actually translate that and everything, if they got an order form on there, just send it to us in an email, and we'll definitely probably order some stuff, because I'm really interested in a lot of things that they have, not just necessarily on Street Fighter, but the Darkstalker stuff I know they have.
Oh, yeah, they got a lot of videos for that. Yeah, that's pretty popular. And actually, somebody has actually translated it on SureYouCan.com's archives. Oh, wow. And this goes back before I was even... No, this comes up. The date on these archives come up. Wow, it comes up, like, after I was a member. It's, like, a message on here from 8/28/2002, which is... Wow, that's kind of old. But so, what you think, Street Fighter, sir?
I enjoy Street Fighter, as long as they keep the nice challenge rating on there. And although, you know, Super Street Fighter 4 looks pretty similar to Street Fighter 4, I'm still hyped about it a little bit because it has DJ on there, and DJ equals cool.
I'm glad you like DJ.
DJ's my man. He's the only person I know in the vehicle going. Brrr-rah! So that's the only reason.
He's annoying. Before I met you, you were the only person I've ever known that's really played DJ. Like, seriously.
I don't know what to say. I played against lots of DJs. DJ's the man, I'm telling you.
I played, like, just to give you an idea of the competition around my joint. When somebody played, there was a lot of Kens, a lot of Ryus, a lot of Akumas, and I'm guilty of playing those, but I played Sakura, and I played Karen, and one guy played E-Honda in Alpha 3, mind you, this is Alpha 3 that I'm talking about. The guy played E-Honda, and he got me into playing E-Honda. He was ridiculous with E-Honda. He would just, like, do all kind of combos. And I was like, oh, my God. He just, like, fell on me. How'd you do that? He liked E-Honda. And so I kind of, you know, years later when I decided I was going to pick up a new character, E-Honda was kind of first thing that I thought about. But, yeah, it was kind of weird, like, that I just randomly picked up E-Honda because of that dude. And I don't even know where that guy is now. But, yeah, it's fun to play Street Fighter. I mean, like, I'll pick it up and play it now. Like, we'll go get Chinese and, like, I'll be in the mood to play Street Fighter, which is odd, but I'll be in the mood to play Street Fighter. And as a matter of fact, let me clarify some remarks I made earlier about not knowing anyone who is Japanese. I really and truly had never heard Japanese spoken in my entire life until I played Street Fighter. And then I thought the dude was saying, like, you know, Hoboken, like as in Hoboken, New Jersey. I was like, Why would he be saying that? So I did a little research, and this was in the days before the internet, mind you, before like internet like blew up and everybody and their daddy had it and, you know, could access it. I did a little research and went and read things, and that's how I learned that they were saying Hadouken. Okay. So that's when I was like, okay, you know, he is obviously speaking another language and it ain't English. So what language are they speaking? And then I realized it said Capcom and then it said Japan down at the bottom. And I was like, holy crap, he came from Japan. Like, what's Japan? I was like, what's Japan? And then like I went to school and I did research. Like, I learned about the country. I learned about, I read books. Like, I went out and read books just on the history of the country. And, you know, like, I learned about a whole nother culture solely through video games. And it was, and that's how I learned about it. It wasn't, and then, of course, I went to the arcade and there were other people there and they were like, yeah, the game came out in Japan. Japan is like the major place you get your video games from. This was, of course, in the mid-90s. So, early to mid-90s, and I was like, oh, really? Okay, I didn't know that. Like, I knew what China was. I knew that Chun-Li, I thought Chun-Li was Japanese. Until, you know, like, the little thing, you go to fight her, and it says, you know, the little plane goes to China. And I was like, that's not the same country. Well, I'm ignorant. I mean, I was so ignorant then. So, I mean, I taught myself, you know, about the different countries and the different languages, because there's a complete difference. And it wasn't until I knew people who were Chinese, but I did not know anyone who was Japanese. And it wasn't until I was, I may have been in high school before I actually met someone who was Japanese, like even Japanese American. But I mean, you know, like, it was, yeah, I have to say Capcom taught me a little bit of something about culture, because where else was I gonna learn it? Like, they didn't really teach you that in school then. I mean, they did, but they didn't, like, it wasn't emphasized. I didn't have world geography until I was probably in high school. I knew some different places, you know, in the world and stuff. Like, I knew what North America looked like, and I could look at a globe and point out different places, but I wouldn't associate people with those places. It wasn't until I was in high school, really, until I was in, I think, the 9th grade, that I took world geography and I learned about, like, the different cultures outside of, you know, my own. And I was like, y'all need to be teaching kids a little bit earlier. Like, and actually, I'm kind of ashamed to say this because this really dates me and really makes me a geek, but I learned about world geography, where different places were on a map, through Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego, because I watched that PBS show every day, 5 times a week at my grandmother's house. And like, I liked the little singing barbershop quintet, I think it was, or was it a quartet? I don't even remember. But it was either a quintet or a quartet of guys that sang out the different places. And it was a quiz show. I mean, everybody's heard of Carmen Sandiego, but like, the little quiz show, the actual live action quiz show. And that's how I learned about the different places on the map. You know, even to the day, like, I can't tell you where some places are in South America. Like, if I had to look at a map of South America, I know Chile's on one side, and I know that, like, I know the different countries. I know the different names of the countries, like Paraguay and Uruguay and Argentina, Brazil. I mean, I know these places are like other places, but if I had, and you know, like, and I know that they speak different languages and stuff, and Peru, but, and I know that Uruguay, I think, is landlocked, I think, but, like, I couldn't point them out on a map to save my life, because there's too many of them. So, when I learned that Blanca was from Brazil, I was like, I was like, let me go look this up on a map. I want to know where this is. Or the fact that DJ was from Jamaica. I had to learn that. Like, I had to pay attention to the little in-game map to learn these things. So, it was because of Street Fighter that I learned world geography. That I learned a whole nother language, or at least heard the language first, before I actually heard anyone ever speak it. So, I mean, you know, I appreciate Street Fighter for that, but, you know, that's about as much as I... Well, and I take that back, because I have cosplayed as Capcom characters, and I have cosplayed as Akuma. You can see a picture of me as Akuma on our website somewhere. I'm certain that I've kept that picture up there, but at least for right now. But you can see me dressed as Akuma, and it was rather hilarious that I even bothered to do it. But I might do like a little photo album of me dressed as some cosplay things. I've done Ruby Heart, and I'm not all that great about my Ruby Heart stuff, but I like the way my Akuma one turned out. So I might post up the pictures on our blog so you can see that. And that's at gaminginsurrection.com/blog. So any parting thoughts? Because we're going to wrap this one up, buddy.
Capcom, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep cranking out those Street Fighters, or even if you want to change the name from them, maybe call it Gravel Fighters or whatever you want to call them, be fine, you know. Just keep pulling them out. You can call them Pavement Fighters. Who cares, you know, as long as you got Ken and Ryu, which is your bread and butter, I think you'll sell the game. Or if you happen to take Ken and Ryu out and leave in Akuma, you still get some people in there. Because even when you put Akuma in other games, people buy it just because Akuma's in it.
Man, okay, first of all, they didn't even, like, want to have Ken and Ryu in Street Fighter 3. Just so you know that. I have an issue of EGM, like, in the box in our living room that talks about, and it was the huge December 1998 issue, if I'm not mistaken, that talks about the fact that Ken and Ryu were not going to be included in Street Fighter 3. And, like, people protested and revolted and would not play it till they put it in there.
You know how you get rid of that problem? All you have to do is do what Namco did to Heihachi. As they keep aging, eventually people are like, alright man, this guy, they gotta be what, 107? That can't be in the next game. So that's all you gotta do.
Well, Heihachi's ass is like indestructible. There's something going on there with Heihachi. But, you know, the guy who did the voice of Heihachi is dead now. So he not coming back. I mean, you'll notice Heihachi didn't do a whole lot of talking. That's why they had Heihachi mysteriously disappear at the beginning of 5 when he got blown up in Hanamaru.
But he didn't die until last year.
Yeah, I know. But that's why they started phasing him out. So now, you know, he's like gone.
The storyline, Tekken is getting away from Heihachi anyway, so they had to phase him out. So
it's leaning toward more toward Jin. Now, and it has been since like 3. It was intended to do that with 3, to start it with 3 at least. So, I mean, you know. But this shows where we do play other things besides Street Fighter. It's just, you know. I noticed that I remembered that about that issue of EGM, that Ken and Ryu were originally not going to be included in Street Fighter 3, and that's why Chun-Li wasn't in the original version up until, when did they add Chun-Li? Wasn't it 3? They added her in Third Strike, or was it Second Impact? I can't remember.
I don't remember. I think it was Double Impact when she did that, when she came in.
Well, I know they added Akuma in Double Impact. He wasn't even in the original one, was he?
No, he wasn't in the original. I think Chun-Li... No. Chun-Li came into Third Strike, I believe, just for the simple fact I remember seeing everyone all of a sudden start playing with her. So I think it was Third Strike she came in.
Well, she broke the game in 3 anyway. She was top tier. Her and Ken were top tier.
Ken was top tier through all of them.
Yeah, yeah. But he really got, like, top tier status in Third Strike for some reason. But anyway, thank you for listening. We'll try to be back next week with another episode. we have a couple more topics that we immediately feel like talking about. So we'll try to have an episode recorded and posted in the next week or so. I don't know when exactly we might get around to doing it, but we know this one ran a little long, but it's okay because it's Street Fighter. You can excuse it for Street Fighter. Anyway, thanks for listening. Hit us up if you got anything to say. Hit us up at Gaming Insurrection at GamingInsurrection.com. That's Gaming _ Insurrection. Or you can hit me up at editor at GamingInsurrection.com. We like to hear what you have to say about our podcast. So, talk to us. Thank you for listening.